You are listening to the Covenant Eyes podcast. Today, we are playing the fourth and final portion of our interview with Traylor and Melody Loverne. Trey's involvement with pornography and chat rooms led to adultery, and eventually their divorce. Later, Trey and Melody reconciled and then remarried after being divorced for 6 years. In this final portion of the interview, Trey speaks about how he learned a radical and heart-transforming dependence on God amidst his recovery.
I was pursuing idols and other safer lovers because at the bottom of my heart, I didn't really trust him to show up. And so I was seeking life out of other things, whether it be pornography or these other relationships or validations or the performance or the attaboys or whatever it was that I craved and needed, because at the core, I was not fully believing that God was enough.
Trey will also talk about the value of accountability and what real accountability should look like in the church.
I tried and did a lot of accountability from a behavioralistic standpoint when it was just behavior modification that was really the goal. But today, the accountability and the relationship that I have with other men, connecting at weakness, not trying to impress with strength, now we can put our hearts on the table.
Hear their story today on the Covenant Eyes podcast.
I was sucking the life out of Melody when I was married the first time, because I have codependent tendencies as well and was seeking life out of that relationship. But it was during those alone years, and I can go back through my journals, and it was the theme that kept coming up over and over and over was God asking me the question, Trey, am I enough? You know, it really was stripping me of my own idolatry, not just the sexual addiction, but really the deeper heart issues. Yeah, I call it the Jerry Maguire syndrome that even a lot of believers buy into, this whole you complete me, and we're looking for another person to complete us. You know, the fact is, because of our brokenness, we have needs that we can't even put into words, much less expect somebody else to meet. Mm-hmm. Being able to claim the promise that God says in Philippians that I will meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory, and the expectation in our marriage now is, yes, I want to do everything I can to serve Melody, but the expectation is not that we're to meet each other's needs, but I am to point her to Christ and to allow Christ to truly be our source of life and to run to him as life instead of any idol, even idols that have more social acceptance. I was pursuing idols and other safer lovers because at the bottom of my heart, I didn't really trust him to show up. And so I was seeking life out of other things, whether it be pornography or these other relationships or validations or the performance and or the attaboys or whatever it was that I craved and needed, because at the core, I was not fully believing that God was enough. And he is. And now to have a relationship where we can out-repent each other, that we can boldly be transparent, that we don't have the expectation that we've got it together, but that we are fellow strugglers even in this relationship. And when our stuff shows up, we can quickly say, I'm sorry, and not make excuses and not try to call it what it's not and not play this whole game of the symptoms and argue over the surface stuff, but to really quickly get to the root stuff. And because of the deep level that we know ourselves and we know each other, we can go there pretty quickly now, and it is so, so freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love what you said there about to out-repent each other. That's really kind of a neat picture. And I also see this theme coming up again and again in your conversation about the idea of transparency and how that the gospel is the message that enables transparency. While the word transparency doesn't appear in the Bible, the word light appears an awful lot in the Bible. And the verse that just keeps coming to mind as I'm listening to your story comes from the lips of Jesus in John chapter 3, where right after he talks about God so loved the world, he says, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest the works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Jesus brings this blinding light into our lives that exposes us for who we really are. So we hide and we shuffle and we hide behind our works. We hide behind whether it be our wickedness or we hide behind our works righteousness, whatever it is. But when we let the blinding light of the gospel penetrate and allow it to flood in and show us and show other people who we really are, when that happens, we can walk in that light and have fellowship with one another, as John says in his first epistle. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have forgiveness. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we have true, lasting fellowship with one another. Huh. And so that's
powerful. And that's true intimacy, what you described there. That is the community that we desire. We all crave intimacy. I'm not talking about sexual intimacy, but being known, warts and all, by someone else. I don't today have to spend any energy trying to convince myself or others that I'm an okay guy because the gospel is true. And anytime I find myself elevating myself, it's in direct proportion to how I'm not believing the gospel. Coming through on the other side of the painful journey of seeing yourself as you really are, and God taking me by the hand and taking me down that path, I see now how amazing grace is. Because grace wasn't amazing, frankly, when I thought I was a pretty good guy and had it all together. And when how that shows up in accountability, and that's a big buzzword, you know, of men's accountability when it comes to overcoming pornography, and that's very important. But I think you have to have that with the right paradigm. I tried and did a lot of accountability from a behavioralistic standpoint when it was just behavior modification that was really the goal. And so you had a group of eight guys maybe who we all were trying to keep this perfect persona. We thought that was the expectation. We're supposed to have it all together. And so every week, basically, we're lying to each other. You know, we weren't really being intimate with each other because we didn't feel the freedom to really be ourselves. We had this set of rules that we thought we were supposed to play by, and you know, it basically just came down to a list of check boxes. Did you have your quiet time? How was your prayer life this week? And all these behaviors that are very important. But today, the accountability and the relationships that I have with other men, from a transparency standpoint, and just being open and believing the gospel, and coming together, connecting at weakness, not trying to impress with strength, now we can put our hearts on the table. And we don't. And the paradigm that we come to that group with is that, hey, we're broken. But the other paradigm I had was, we've got it together. And let me show you every week and come with my report and convince you further how much I've got it together. Rather than the rawness of coming together in true accountability, which I believe is leaning into another heart, and knowing that person at their core, the good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, that's something I often pray for us as a ministry, as Covenant Eyes as a ministry, because our focus is on internet accountability, and we recognize that one area, major area of secret sin for people is the area of the internet, that there's a lot of things in the internet that can end up being minefields for people. And so, you know, we want a great sense of freedom to use the internet, but at the same time, a great sense of transparency. But, you know, absolutely, we acknowledge that people can so easily take the concept of accountability and turn it into their own sort of legalistic system where they can just sort of maintain a certain surfacey level of performance. So I get a report from someone that says their report looks good, that they haven't been anywhere they shouldn't be, and I just sort of hit delete on it and say, okay, well, they must be all right then. And really, that's only scratching the surface. And so our hope is that when people get reports from one another about their internet activity, that that's just one aspect of transparency that they're engaging in with in Christian community, and that as they do that, they can begin to drill beneath the surface. Okay, so you went here or you didn't go here online, whatever the case may be. Now let's talk about the why. What's going on at the heart level? And as you said, leaning into the heart of another, I think that's a great definition of transparency and of accountability, because that is that's really what God has commanded us to do. Melody, we've been talking to Trey about what he's learned in all of this. Now, let's finish with your perspective. If you could
Try to give one message of encouragement to a wife who has a husband who struggles with pornography or chat rooms or something like that. And what would that message be?
The main thing that I try to get across to the woman, and this is not about you. You know, this is not something you could do more of, or this is not, you know, anything that you've done that's contributed to this particular addiction, and really get her on a path where she can begin to understand that. Although it's not about the woman, it has great impact on the woman, you know, her self-esteem and just, you know, the lies and betrayal that goes along with that. And I think that a lot of women bear a lot of shame, and so they're scared to go to people about it. Find somebody in your church that you can confide in, that you can get some help understanding, that you can share with so that you don't feel alone. I think the main thing is to get that woman some godly counsel in her church to where she's got a network of people to help her. And if he is unrepentant, then all the more important to get that in front of the leadership so that they can help that person. And, you know, obviously we're in a church where discipline would take place if a man is living in unrepentant sin.
Definitely. I think the church is one of the big missing pieces for a lot of people. I know we will talk to different kinds of women, some who are in the process of this restoration in their relationship where their husband's acknowledged the problem, he's working through it, he stumbles every now and then, there's all kinds of trust issues going on, but nonetheless, there's progress being made. Then there's women who write to us either an email or they write a comment on our blog or something, who are just living just this seemingly eternal frustration. Their husband has either justified it or has come up with some way to make it seem not as bad as it is, or it just completely just disagrees entirely with the idea that it's wrong. And so in those situations, I really feel like, well, I really in both situations, I feel like that the thing that's so crucial for these couples is to be engaged in, to be involved in the life of a good church that, like you said, not only strongly believes in the message of grace that the gospel brings, but also believes that one of the means of grace that Jesus has given us is the leadership of the church exercising good, wise, godly church discipline, where sin is pointed out, where the finger's put on it, where the deeper issues are mentioned, where there are specifically men and women both are given godly and wise counsel from the Word of God. I think that is so crucial. I think it's so key for people to be involved in those kind of communities, because if you're not, then you are just sort of suffering with these things in isolation. And that's really unfortunate.
Right. You've been listening to the fourth portion of our interview with Trailer and Melody Lovern. Hear more about Trey and Melody on Trey's blog, trailerlovern.com. That's TRAYLORLOVVORN.com. I am your host, Luke Gilkerson, and you are listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast. Hear more podcasts on iTunes or visit the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.